News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Tomorrow marks 4 weeks since Dublin became the first county in the country to enter into level 3 plus COVID restrictions. Back then, the county had the highest incidence rate of COVID in the country, but now Dublin is about 11th since last night's figures came out highest, although the cases here do remain high. So what we're asking is, has level 3 restrictions worked? If we have flattened the curve, is that what we were actually trying to achieve? To discuss this now, we are joined by Paul Moyna, who is Professor of Immunology and Director of the Kathleen Lonsdale Institute for Human Health at Maynooth University. Paul, in your view, has level 3 worked for Dublin?
I think it's actually difficult to say, Ciara. Probably if you asked me last week, there were some signs that, you know, numbers were beginning to stabilise. Maybe over the last week, you know, numbers have begun to creep up again. So I don't think it has been sort of, you know, an absolute success in that sense. So it may have stabilised maybe initially, but numbers are creeping up again.
OK, well, currently we are 13th. We have 194 per 100,000 is the 14-day rate. We have been lower than that and we have been higher than that as well. And but only Ballyfermot, Drimna, that's the only area that is up above the 300 per 100,000. So most of the wards of Dublin are far below that and indeed mid-ranking in the country. Paul, what are we actually trying to achieve with lockdowns? If it isn't flattening the curve, are we still talking about elimination of COVID here? What do you believe that the actual aim of these restrictions is?
Yeah, I think the aim actually is to try to suppress the virus. Now, some would argue that we should go further and try to eliminate the virus. In my own view, I haven't seen any evidence, or even from history, in terms of lockdowns being able to eliminate any viruses. You know, some examples are given, for example, places like New Zealand, Vietnam, Japan. But some of those actually achieved really good success without lockdowns. And the other thing about those examples are that they acted really, really fast. They went in there really aggressively from the start and essentially closed down their borders. We're in a very different state, you know, in the sense that spread is quite widespread now at the moment, and it's very difficult to get back to that early stage. The other thing I would say, Ciara, is, you know, there is a narrative developing around in terms of, you know, especially our increases now over the last number of weeks, that is mainly or maybe exclusively due to slippage of our, you know, overall collective
behaviour. People are pointing the finger at each other saying you're congregating at GAA matches, for example, or no, you're going to communion parties or those types of things.
Yeah, I think it's more complicated here. I think if you look across Europe, we're seeing more or less the same trends, and we saw them back in spring, early summer as well. So we saw these peaks, then they dissipated. And again, that was put mostly down to lockdowns. But the reality is most countries opened far earlier than we did during the summer. Numbers stayed very low. Whereas now, you know, you're seeing these general trends again. And I think the more and more you look here, and we probably shouldn't be surprised with this, you know, this is a coronavirus. It's behaving in a quite similar way to other respiratory viruses in the sense that there's probably a heavy seasonal component. And for some reason, many of the reasons we don't actually fully understand, these viruses transmit better during these, you know, autumn, winter months. That can be due to the fact that the virus may be more stable under these conditions, probably transmits better in sort of cold, especially dry air and dry air inside. So I think a lot of the focus has been in terms of individual behaviour, maybe not enough in terms of what are the other things we could do in terms of, for example, ventilation.
Are you saying that it's behaving a little bit like, and I don't want to do that comparison really, but like a flu virus, that it'll dip in the summer and come back in the winter? Are we saying that now? Because we were questioning that certainly in the first wave, that there was that seasonality because it was hitting warm countries as well.
Yeah, and to a degree, you know, it was difficult early on to make that assertion. But now as you begin to see this and see very similar patterns, so is it a case that collectively across Europe, you know, everybody is showing the same signs in terms of not adhering to restrictions and in terms of not modifying our behaviour? So certainly in some senses, I think in terms of how the virus is transmitted and maybe that element of seasonality. Now, I wouldn't like to say then, Ciara, that, you know, for example, in terms of infection fatality rate, certainly in terms of some of the characteristics,
no
I
one
don't
is
think
putting
we should ignore that.
Yeah, those words in your mouth. Does that seasonality, if it exists, change our management? Does it change our response? Does it influence our use of lockdown?
Yeah, I think so, Ciara, because I think there is a sense there that actually if we just try and we're really, really aggressive and we close down the entire country, we can stop and eliminate this virus. I think it's more difficult than that, Ciara. I think it's really, really difficult to control these viruses. And giving that sense that you can eliminate the virus by locking down the entire country, I think that's too simplistic. And even already, you know, we've gone to level three. We discussed earlier on in terms of how successful that was in Dublin, maybe some moderate success, but certainly it hasn't cleared the problem for us. So I think looking ahead, you know, it's sort of a mix there of, okay, you know, that collective behaviour. Yes, it is absolutely important. Supplement that with a good test and trace system, but begin to look and focus on more sort of the environmental contributions, okay, such as, for example, you know, inside ventilation, things like that. All I think they would also benefit.
Look, thank you very much for speaking to us this morning. That is Professor Paul Moyna there, immunologist and director of the Kathleen Lonsdale Institute for Human Health in Maynooth University.